Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY25 conference call of Satin Creditcare Network Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. H.P. Singh, Chairman cum Managing Director of Satin Creditcare Network Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Aditya. Good morning, everyone. We thank you for joining to discuss our performance during the first quarter of financial year 2024-25. Amidst the news of flood and heavy rainfall in few regions, I hope you and your family are safe and keeping healthy. I believe you have had the opportunity to go through our quarterly results and investor presentation. If you have not gone through them yet, you can access them on our website or through the stock exchange. I'll start the call with the announcement that we have released our annual integrated report for financial year 23-24 and is available on the official website of our company. This year's theme, Growing with Grit, Conquering with Capability, captures our holistic view of our organization, providing a thorough dive into our resilient business model and integrated reporting. As we reflect on the performance of the reporting quarter, we acknowledge that it was a challenging period to navigate, marked by the extreme heat waves across regions and disruptions due to long phase of general elections for a large part of the quarter. This, coupled with the fact that a significant portion of our loans are dedicated to agriculture and allied sectors, and hence first quarterly typically experiences a slowdown due to the harvesting season, and it made it harder to manage. However, we successfully managed these challenges through proactive measures. We identified stress building up in certain areas and took the necessary steps to address these issues in time, ensuring stability and effective steering through this time. To effectively navigate this seasonally moderate quarter and to proceed cautiously in the upcoming quarters, while maintaining a healthy portfolio quality, we have implemented the following measures. We have instituted a dedicated collection team for different DPD buckets, driven by the findings of our data analysis. Initiated from Q4 24 onwards, this measure is already showing promising results, positively impacting our portfolio quality. During Q1 FY25, we appointed a credit manager for each branch, responsible for 100% field verification of all loans disbursed in a month, including existing clients. This measure has enhanced our loan verification process, ensuring accuracy, reducing risk, and improved overall portfolio quality. As of now, this initiative is implemented across 100% of our branches. Our average FOIR per customer for existing clients stands at 6,400 rupees, which is almost half of the RBI prescribed limit of 12,500. This demonstrates our commitment to maintaining a healthy credit risk profile by not over-leveraging our borrowers. As part of our strategy, we have been disbursing only one loan per client to effectively contain and manage our credit risk per client. Additionally, in an effort to mitigate credit risk, we have decided not to onboard new-to-credit clients in 15% of our identified branches. This measure was initiated from February 24 onwards. To augment the effectiveness and efficacy of our center meetings, we are calibrating our loan officer span to ensure better control of center meetings. This move is driven by our commitment to enhancing operational efficiency and delivering improved service to our clients. We have implemented risk-based pricing strategy based on the vintage and credit history of our clients. This means that the interest rates and loan terms are adjusted based on the client's repayment history and tenure with us. By considering the client's track record and loyalty, we can offer more competitive pricing to non-standing clients while appropriately managing risk for newer clients. This approach not only rewards our loyal clients but also ensures a balanced and prudent risk management framework. Commenting in the ongoing concern, we state that as of now, we have not encountered any significant stress in UP and Bihar. However, aligned with industry trends, we are observing some challenges in Odisha and Rajasthan, for which we have already taken proactive measures. As a result of the aforementioned measures, we are revising our guidance on AUM growth to 20% year-on-year for the year FY25. growth of 20% for the year 2024-25. Despite the challenges we face, we remain optimistic and are continuously assessing ground developments without revising our guidance on credit costs for now. As we witnessed extraordinary events in Q1, as discussed earlier, and there are seasonal floods in our major geographies presently. Based on these events, we shall be able to give credit cost guidance for the year with Q2 FY25 results. The guardrails recently recommended by industry body MFIN, which imposes a cap on the microfinance indebtedness per client to rupees 2 lakh and restrict the number of microfinance lenders to 4 per borrower, reflect the industry's commitment to sustainable growth, leveraging the substantial credit advancing opportunities available through the microfinance channel. Over the years, the SROs have been instrumental in strengthening the sector, ensuring its resilience, reinforcing our collective efforts towards a stable and progressive industry. I am happy to share that our portfolio is well within the guidelines, as we are a responsible financial services company. In the last 7 months, we have disbursed 11 lakh loans, which are all in compliance with the guardrails. Our average FOIR per customer for existing clients is 48% below the RBI's prescribed maximum limit. Continuing our dedication to excellence and innovation in the microfinance sector, we have consistently strived to empower communities and drive financial inclusion. As an evidence to our efforts and impact, we are happy to share that we have been recognized as the Dominant Microfinance of the Year Award at the 17th NBFC and FinTech Awards 2024. Additionally, as part of our commitment to championing our culture of inclusivity, innovation, and continuous growth, we were recognized among the top 100 companies to work for India 2024 across all industries by GPTW India. Now, talking about operational performance during the quarter on consolidated basis, our AUM grew by 23% to 11,706 crore. On a standalone basis, the GLP stood at 10,485 crore, up by 25%. The disbursement stood at 2,114 crore on consolidated basis and rupees 1,997 crore on a standalone basis. Our borrower base grew by 15%, while our branch infrastructure stood at 1,447 branches, up by 10% YoY. We also ventured into a new state, Nagaland, making a significant step towards in our mission, to fulfill the micro-credit needs of underserved communities. This expansion brings our presence to a total of 27 states and union territories. We have consistently grown our footprints across the country, harnessed numerous prospects for business growth, and invested in decisive actions that deliver greater shared value for multiple stakeholders, guided by a strong regard for customer needs. Coming to the asset quality, we observed a temporary increase in delinquency during the first quarter. This was due to the severe heat wave across several regions, operational constraints during the general election, which impacted regular collection and follow-ups in the delinquent buckets. On-book GNPA stood at 219 crore, which is 2.7% of the on-book portfolio. The company has sufficient on-book provisions amounting to 200 crore as on Q1 FY25, which is 2.5% of the on-book portfolio. Provision required as per RBI regulations is 150 crore. We have adequate measures in place and are working to ensure that delinquency trends should stabilize in the coming quarter. Maintaining a good collection discipline, our collection efficiency stood at 97.9% and the collection against write-off pool stood at 6 crore in Q1 FY25. Coming to our financials now, the company's consolidated net interest income grew by 38% to reach rupees 383 crore in line with the loan portfolio growth in the quarter. The pre-provisioning operating profit stood at 213 crore, registering a growth of 60% on a consolidated basis. The net interest income and pre-provisioning operating profit on standalone basis is 353 crore and 207 crore respectively. Our NIM for the quarter stood at 13.4%. The consolidated PAT for the quarter grew by 20% at 105 crore, resulting in an ROA of 4% and ROE of 17.2%. This marks the sixth consecutive quarter in which we have achieved an ROA of over 4%, reflecting our strong cross-cycle performance and sustainable profitability. In line with our steadfast dedication to optimizing operational efficiency and resource allocation throughout our operations, our OPEX to average AUM ratio witnessed a consistent improvement, dropping to 5.5% on a standalone basis, decreased by 27 basis points on year basis. Likewise, our cost-to-income ratio improved to 41.4% as against 48.9% on a standalone basis. On the borrowing front, during Q1 FY25, the company secured debt funding of total 467 crore from OEB, the Dutch Development Bank of Austria and FMO, Dutch Entrepreneurial Development Bank. Trust partnerships ensure our continued ability to provide critical financial services to underserved communities and support our mission to drive sustainable economic growth. The company has ample liquidity of around 1,400 crore and a healthy CAR CRAR of 27.9%. I am also happy to share that with you that we have welcomed Mr. Joydeep Datta Gupta, former partner of Deloitte India, and Ms. Jyoti Dawar, Director General at FICCI, to our board as independent directors. We are confident that their extensive experience and deep expertise will be invaluable as we continue to strengthen our governance and pursue our growth ambitions. As mentioned earlier, this quarter presented several challenges. However, with prudent strategies in place, we did our best to navigate these difficulties effectively. We focused on optimizing our operations, maintaining strict financial discipline, and enhancing our customer engagement, which allow us to achieve stable performance and lay a strong foundation for future growth. Both of our subsidiaries are profitable and are treading the path towards future growth. With the substantial support from the government for the MSME and housing sectors in the Union Budget 2024, we are well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities. This boost has further accelerated our efforts, enabling us to expand our reach, enhance our offerings, and drive sustainable growth across our operations. Now let me run through financial and operational highlights of the company, starting with consolidated highlights. We have a customer base of 35.1 lakh customers as on 30th June 2024, with presence across 1,447 branches and 425 districts of India. Our top four states contribute to 56% of total AUM in Q1 FY25, and the states are UP, Bihar, West Bengal, and Madhya Pradesh. The total revenue for the quarter stood at 634 crore, up by 37% YOY. Coming to standalone highlights, our average ticket size of MFI lending for the quarter stood at 49,000. We have a well-diversified customer base of approximately 34.1 lakh clients with 76% rural exposure. 55% of our clients belong to first cycle as on June 24. Pan India presence with 1,301 branches across 419 districts. PAT for Q1 FY25 stood at 103 crore, ROE at 4% and ROE at 15.1%. The net worth stood at 2,770 crore as on 30th June 2024. GNPA as on June 24 stood at 2.7%. The overall provision coverage ratio increased to 91% versus 66% in June 23. Total borrowing stood at 7,403 crore as on 30th June 2024. Debt to equity ratio as on 30th June stood at 2024 stood at 2.7x. As on 30th June 2024, 96.7% of our districts have less than 1% of portfolio exposure. In our constant endeavor to enrich our customers' lives, we provide financing of various products, which include loans for bicycles, solar products, home appliances, consumer durables, water and sanitation facilities. An update on subsidiaries. Through the collective efforts of our subsidiaries, we aim to extend the spectrum of financial services to our clients. By harnessing the strength of our microfinance outreach, we endeavor to extend affordable housing and retail MSME loans specifically to clients who have completed more than two loan cycles with the company and have higher credit requirements. Saturn Housing Finance Limited has now reached an AUM of 769 crore, which grew by 50% year on year, having presence across 12 states with 7,645 customers. SHFL has a 100% retail book. The quality of the portfolio remains intact with GNP of 1.4% as on June 24. The company has 27 active lenders, including NHB Refinance, CRAR of 49.8% and gearing of 2.4x. PAT for the quarter stood at 51 lakhs. Credit rating of A- stable from ICRA. Saturn FinServ Limited, the company's MSME lending arm, has reached an AUM of 452 crore. We are running down the business correspondent book and focusing on building retail MSME going forward. MSME book grew by 41%, CRAR of 44.9% and gearing of 1.4x. PAT for the quarter stood at 1.7 crore. Credit rating of A- stable from ICRA. I am pleased to share with you that we are adding a new wholly owned subsidiary to our offerings in the technology space. This company will aim to provide technological solutions to the financial services sector. This is with our vision to leverage our technological progress and also diversify our revenue streams. In closing, as we forge ahead on our journey of growth and innovation, we are confident in our ability to achieve greater profitability while ensuring operational efficiency. Our strategic vision and dedication to excellence position us bodes us well for a prosperous future. Thank you for your time. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Samir from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just two questions, right? One is on the operating expenses front. Is it fair to assume that the investments that you have made on collection teams, etc., have led to a sequential uptick in OPEX? And secondly, on yields, how do you think of yields? Would you have reduced interest rates in the last couple of quarters? That's it from my side. Thank you.
So, Samir, the yields will remain stable, you know, where we are. You know, they could probably be just, you know, I think a band of about 0.2% or 0.3%, you know, which will oscillate. But we won't have any kind of a dip in the in our yields. That's point number one. Point number two, in terms of
the sequential increment of OPEX.
So OPEX, our sense is that, you know, we've put in our collection team during this quarter. So whatever little increase had come has also been factored in. Our own sense is as we go forward, I think, you know, this will not have too much of a bearing in our OPEX. I think, you know, if you really look at the cost to income, I think ratio, you know, we've gone down. You know, substantially from a 48.9% to about 41.4% right now. So our sense is the OPEX to average AUM in terms of even the denominator base increasing will probably remain stable. You know, there's no significant increase or no. I think, you know, there will not be kind of an increase in this OPEX to AUM also.
Sure. And just one final thing, the 20% growth guidance is on a consolidated basis. Is that fair?
Yes. Okay.
That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Agastya Dave from CAO Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you are.
Good morning, Singh sir. Singh sir, looks like fairly decent set of numbers given the problems that cropped up this quarter. Sir, I had three questions. One was, can you go into like the states which are facing trouble? So there was some trouble in Punjab in two districts. So what is the status there? Amritsar and I believe Jalandhar. Then you mentioned that there are problems that even you are seeing in Rajasthan and Odisha. So can you go into some details whether these are few districts? Are these related to some local political issues or is there something else going on? What is the actual nature of the problem and how big the problem is? And then you also mentioned that UP Bihar, you are not seeing anything. I don't know whether you included those two states because they are substantial for us or is there actually some problem that somebody else is seeing? So that is my first question, sir.
Okay, so let me start from the major one, you know, the UP and Bihar. Why we specifically mentioned about that? Because there was a lot of talk going on basically that, you know, there was a news item where, you know, you have to go slow on RBI's, the thing that I think, you know, was some advisory or something, you know, that, you know, have to go slow on UP and Bihar. That is the reason why we wanted to specify our stand in and what is going on in UP and Bihar. That's the reason why we give it, not because we are seeing any kind of a stress or crossover there. So that answers probably your third question on this. You know, regarding Punjab, I think, you know, we've, as we said earlier, we are very, very stable across over there. Our collection efficiency even now is about 91%. The districts which were there have probably you know, stabilized. In fact, you know, we started a little bit of a disbursements across over there, which gives us that kind of a impetus that we are able to, we've been able to navigate the crisis to a large extent. And I think, you know, it is slowly and steadily coming up off the curve right now. So that answers your question on Punjab. And Odisha and Rajasthan, you know, I think, you know, we've we've heard about in these, you know, in various quarters in the sector in itself that yes, there is some stress which is building up in few pockets of Odisha and Rajasthan. It's not entirely, but just to give you this thing, you know, we were already taking those corrective measures, you know, which we enumerated to you during the opening of my earnings call. We've done that. We are looking at it far more diligently, and we have a handle on it. Our own senses, I think, you know, that it will probably be contained by us. You know, we are probably at it. But it's not something, you know, which is probably significant. We just wanted to highlight it so that, you know, we want all our stakeholders to be a little bit aware of where there is a slight stress, you know, which is coming in. You know? So that is what probably answers your Odisha Rajasthan. And I think all the three we've been able to answer.
Yes, sir. So my next question is, there are a lot of regulatory noises, especially from the governor himself, about the interest rates that MFI, the sector as a whole, is charging. So are these noises now becoming threats? Because they are sounding like it. What exactly is the backdrop which is prompting the regulator to use such I don't know what adjective to use for it, but it looks like regulator is really worried.
No, so don't use any background. Don't use adjectives. Adjectives don't probably give you the right picture. So it's, you know, as you said, if there is no threat as such, I think, you know, it's probably somewhere when you are serving this underserved communities, you definitely would like to give them probably the best out of the terms of the interest rates which you charge them. And we've also brought it down to our vintage clients. As we said, you know, we've done risk-based pricing across over there. But I think, you know, what is more important for us to probably look at it is, and I think, you know, this is like an ongoing thing, you know, which will probably go on. As we feel our cost of funds go down, as we remain stable on our NIMs, we feel that, I think, you know, that increase or maybe the better performance in terms of our cost of funds should be given back to the borrowers as such, you know. But you have to look at the holistic view of complete picture as such. It's not just the interest rates. It's also how you are able to drive your credit costs and all the factors put together. You've got a cost of services to, you know, to drive collections, to reach out to them. You know, this is a doorstep service, you know, which is a process. I think you have to keep everything in mind. So my sense is, I think, you know, all the stakeholders are aware of this, you know, and I think, you know, everybody is taking due steps to make it far and far more affordable for our borrowers across. And we've also done the same.
Right, so because Governor Das is a very conservative central banker, and he's a very reasonable man, as we have seen over the years. If he's pointing out something, then I was just wondering what exactly are they seeing. So final question, in this quarter consolidated numbers, other expenses, there is a quarter-on-quarter jump as well as a fairly substantial year-on-year jump. So this 41 crores, is there anything which is one-off here? Why exactly is there such a big jump? It's like sticking out.
Well, I told you, I don't know what number are you talking about.
This is the other expenses. This is 41 crores compared to 33.5 crores previous quarter, and then 31 crores last year.
Yeah, so these are
exactly substantial jump.
Branch expansion, you know, this thing, you know, so we've opening it close to about 300 odd branches this year. And we've opened about close to about 70, 80, I think, you know, in this quarter. So I think, you know, these are
extraordinary, say, sir, right?
I think it's not. No. Natural course of business.
No one-off, nothing extraordinary.
No one-off.
Great, sir. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you, Agastya.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. Our next question is from the line of Amit Agrawal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I had a question on return of assets. What kind of return of asset pool we have as of June 2024? And I can see that we are not able to recover much from the return of assets that happened during COVID and post that. So what options do we have to recover those assets, like selling it to ARCs or giving higher timelines to those borrowers. So, I mean, I just want to have an understanding that what happens when the assets are written off, and does it just go away, or we get chance to recover in future timelines?
So, I think, you know, Amit, you'll have to understand one thing. You know, so the written off pool is written off only in our account books, but for the operational field, it's never been written off. You know, so we've got pool starting from demonetization, which was what 7 years ago, which my boys still are able to bring somewhat a little bit from there. You know, so for us as a company, we believe that till the time, you know, I think we exist and the borrower exists, if they're able to touch base upon them and get back the money, you know, that is what we know. And that's probably the most soundest of policy which we've been able to adopt for the last 7-8 years, you know. The return of pool starting from demonetization till date would be close to about 1,200 odd crores, which is there. Now, getting money from this kind of a pool, which is 7 years old, 6 years old, 5 years old, 4 years old, is a very tough task, you know. Half the time you will not find a borrower, the addresses will not be there, you know, it'll be very difficult to take them out, you know. But in spite of that fact, you know, we've got our dedicated teams, which I think, you know, if I remember correctly, last year we brought in about 48 to 50 odd crores, you know, from that pool. This year we started on a lower note, but we still brought in about 6 crores total from the data pool, you know. Our sense is, you know, if we just keep at it, you know, at some point of the time, the borrowers get motivated to probably bring it back. Till the time we are able to find them, but that's the policy which we follow. I think it has paid us good dividends across the years, you know, for us to bring in money from the write-off pool, you know.
So can we not sell it to ARCs? Like, are there not ARCs who are buying those stressed pools?
Well, they will not have the collection mechanism. We would have to do that ourselves, you know. So might as well, when we are doing it ourselves, let us do it, you know, by ourselves. And why pay an additional cost or something like that, you know. But
that's costly. Also, the collecting money from the old pool is very costly also, right?
No, it's not costly, you know. So we've got separate benchmarks for us, you know. So for we see it in a different fashion, you know. So let me just give you a very small example how to do it, you know. We pay a certain amount of salary to our boy. For us, if he gets 3x post that, you know, that's the best we can do, you know, across it. And we drive them to get 3x of what their salary is and their operating cost is, you know. So it's never out of pocket for us, you know, and it has always helped us in terms of, you know, how we look at our P&L, you know, based on these dedicated people to do collections in these buckets, you know.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's helpful. So my next question is on our subsidiaries, like the second housing finance in particular. So housing finance is a big area and big opportunity. Recently, Shriram Housing Finance sold their housing subsidiary. So my question one is like, when can we expect to have a 5,000 crore AUM in second housing finance? And how are we going to unlock the value from this subsidiary in future?
Yeah, I think this is a question which probably, you know, we've been saying, but I think, you know, it has probably not found real penetration in a lot of people to probably understand. I think probably you're another person who's probably saying it in the same. You know, yes, there is a huge opportunity in housing finance for us, including the MSME lending which you're talking about. Definitely, yes, you know, I think, you know, we would probably be crossing the second milestone of ours, you know, from 500 crores to about 1,000 crores this year in housing finance. We are looking at, when you said 5,000 crores for us, our bench strength, you know, where we are working on is that we are able to reach that in the next 3 to 4 years, you know, definitely yes, you know. And yes, we'll monetize it at a certain point of time. Definitely yes, we'll do that, you know, because that's what we have brought these subsidies up. One, to hedge our risk. Two, because we're moving from unsecured to secured. Two, to look at the cost of capital for us, you know, so we use our capital efficiently so we are able to leverage two of these businesses in a separate subsidiary. And three is, yes, at a certain point of time, definitely we would monetize these assets to bolster our capital strength on the parent company. When and which, I think, you know, probably I can't give you a definitive answer, but yes, that is what our thought process is.
So what kind of NIMs we have in this business?
Well, as you would have it, you know, we do a lot of piggybacking on our microfinance clients in the rural housing, which probably is our core area. And which we've got a USP. NIMS, you know, average is close to about 5 to 7%, you know, that is where it is. And we feel that's probably pretty good enough for a housing finance in a company to really look at it.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So that's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers.
Thank you.
Sir, first to understand how the delinquency pool will move from where it is right now. So firstly, if I can know what is 1 to 90 DPD pool, you know, as of June versus what was it as of March? And where do we see it settling in the next 2 quarters? This is your assessment of the situation.
So 1 to 90 pool is close to about 4.5%.
Okay.
There's 1 plus, not 1, one to 90, plus. There's 1 plus. Out of that, 2.7% is 90 plus, and the rest is between 1 and 90.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. And, sir, where do we see this settling with your assessment of the situation on the ground? Whether the improvement will come through immediately or would it take some time? If you can just comment from what you see on the ground.
See, Rajiv, as I said, you know, first quarter was, you know, a lot of factors which actually externally jumped in. I think, you know, this is again, you know, a quarter, I won't say a quarter, but the month, you know, where we are seeing a lot of rains and a lot of flooding across over there. So these are not normal nuances of business, you know, which we are encountering right now. That is the reason why we said we will have probably a better handle on all this, you know, by, I think, you know, August end or so, and we'll give our guidance across over there. Our own sense is that there is nothing in the business which is probably, you know, demonstrates maybe a elevated, you know, a highly elevated credit cost. It's only once we are able to settle down these seasonal disturbances which have occurred, and then we'll get a clearer picture. But our own senses, what we are seeing on the ground and the way we are handling it, I think, you know, we feel that it is no cause of concern where there would be, you know, a very high delinquencies or very high credit cost. You know, let this issues of flooding and everything settle down. I think, you know, that's why we said, you know, we want to give you and everybody a clearer picture, and we'll be able to do that, you know, maybe in a month and a half time, you know.
Understood, sir. And just to again slightly check on UP and Bihar, so whatever delinquency increase you saw in the first quarter for all the reasons that you mentioned, we did not see much of an increase in the delinquent pool for UP and Bihar as such. We are not seeing any stress at this point in time.
We are not, you know, I said, you know, this is exactly what is happening. So there has been, again, floods in, you know, border areas of Uttarakhand adjoining UP. There has been flood in Bihar also, Muzaffarnagar, for specifically. You know, so UP, Bihar is basically when we are talking about it. Again, you know, issues like, you know, we've got, I don't know whether you guys would know or not, you know, but this is Kavad Yatra going on for the last 5 days, you know. The roads are closed, you know, the schools are closed, things are there. So these do have a momentary effect on our collections. But that is what I said. We're not seeing circumstances in businesses which probably, you know, term it to say that we have elevated credit costs. It's related to these factors. Let these factors settle down. I think we'll have a far more clearer picture, you know, moving ahead. You know, I don't want to comment on anything beyond this, you know. So let this settle down. And I hope once it has settled down, we'll be far more, we'll be able to address it also much better of the proactive measures which you've already set in place, you know.
Correct. Just one last thing I wanted to check was on this MFI guardrail. And I think you just clarified right up front in the call that for us at the portfolio level, there shouldn't be much of an impact in terms
of. So we've been following guardrails. You know, that's why, you know, I've given you 11 lakh clients in the last 7 months. You know, we're following guardrails before they even set in, you know. So 7 months before we started to do that. And the FOIR, which is also this thing, you know, FOIR is half of what the RBI prescribes, you know. So we always take proactive measures as an institution, always. For us, the key question is always portfolio quality. That's what we always, you know, emphasize upon, you know.
So my second level question on this MFI and guardrail was more on the, you know, the industry and not specifically with Titan, because, you know, there are maybe, there could be certain layer of customers who were, you know, were being supported by certain lenders by becoming an additional lender, and they used to hold themselves as a regular or a current customer. But now with this guardrail being implemented by inspired by even the other lenders in the system, can it happen that certain strata of customers will start to default because they are not getting that additional finance on which they were kind of trying?
I don't think so. I think it's again a factor which we'll all have to see. We've been following it. So for us, we okay. feel that it hasn't happened to us. I will not have any comment on this. To be very honest.
Okay, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Thank you, Rajiv.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ritika from Bandhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the opportunity. So just two questions. One is on the,
Ritika, sorry, your voice is very feeble. Can't hear a thing.
A little louder, please.
Better now, ma'am?
Yeah, better.
I'm so sorry. So I'm saying, ma'am, this, sir, this two new things which the MFIN chairman mentioned on the number of lend exposure and also on the, the ticket size, if maybe if I could put it that way, how are we looking to, deal with the same? Where are we today in terms of what number of our customers are actually, we are number four or number three for them? So that's the first question. And second, I understand you will be obviously sharing the credit cost guidance a little later, but just if you could still broadly reiterate the guidance, which is as of today for FY25, and break the loan growth into MFI and non-MFI. Yeah.
So I'll answer the first part of the question, Ritika, for you first, which is the guardrails. So first of all, for everybody's benefits, whatever MFIN has done is more of a supplementary or clarificatory to whatever the RBI had actually guided us in terms of the household income of 3 lakh, in terms of the FOIR of maximum 12,500. Even if you look at the 2 lakh indebtedness, it roughly translates to a FOIR of 11,500. So whatever MFIN has done is to simplify it and make it, more, I'll say, bite-sized for everybody. So that is what it is. This is why the 11 lakh loans that sir had just mentioned, we disbursed and they are all within the guardrails without them being announced. Now to answer the other question about the number of lenders. In our presentation, we have mentioned we are the only lender to 31% of the borrowers. For 55% of the, so for the next 25, we are the second lender. And for another 20%, we are the third lender. We are looking at our data scrub. We are not the sixth lender for anybody of any of our clients.
Yeah, so Ritika, this is what we what Aditi has just mentioned. And in terms of our credit cost, as I said, let the current issues settle down. As I said, we do not foresee any or maybe significant elevation on our credit cost because we feel that this is due to these factors which have kicked in for the last 3 to 4 months, flooding, seasonal harvesting, heat wave, general election. Let this all settle down. We'll be able to give you a far more clearer picture. But as I said, we really feel on the ground that, we are not facing that elevation, which is not there. And what was your other question in terms of, I think this is what it was.
I think this answers her question.
Just the second one was on the, if you could just reiterate the growth guidance and maybe break it up into MFI and non-MFI.
Yeah, we've not done we've taken an overall picture, consolidated is what we always talk about. Our own sense is that for us, it could probably, overall on the customer
base. And because of any which way, the base effect, MFI being the largest piece, it will always override whatever growth the subsidiaries do.
Yeah.
So even for now, the subs have grown by 50% and 41%, Ritika. But since still 88% of the business lies in microfinance, so if we grow 20 here, consolidated also, it will be 20 or 21 only at the current pace. So majorly it will be driven by the core SCNL business.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hi. Sorry, but I joined the call 10 minutes late. So have you shared any guidance for 25 on ROA and cost to income?
No, we've not shared any guidance in terms of our ROA and cost to income. I think, you know, you can probably take heart from what we've shown in the first quarter and maybe extrapolate whatever you have to do. We've not given any guidance. We've just given our guidance for our growth that we'll be doing 20% consolidated growth for this year.
Okay, and credit cost we'll be sharing later. With respect to this growth, so which particular segments and or regions are supposed to drive it?
I think it's overall, you know, we're not doing segmentation as such, you know, basically because normally we grow our existing book by about 10%, you know, by the loan number
so
of
yeah.
So I think, you know,
so the, and in regions you are saying, like we are saying, we are going to be slow in Odisha and Rajasthan, but we have entered two new states, AP and Telangana, then deep diving in the existing states where we are strong, Northeast is where we are strong, etc. So these are going to be the major drivers for the growth for us.
Okay, and lastly, any branch addition target for the year?
Yeah, so we are doing about 300 odd branches for this year. I think we've already deployed about 100 odd branches, you know, close to about 100 branches, you know.
So 200 more.
All right. Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Jay from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is, how is the stage 2 change QOQ? What is the GNPA and your loan exposure in Punjab?
Jay, you have to be louder. We can't hear you.
Hello?
Yeah.
Can you give the number on your change in stage 2 loans QOQ? And what will be your exposure in Punjab?
Sorry, it's not clear. Yes, it's still not clear.
I'll get back in line.
No, if you can, I don't know, try to be louder or else.
Hello? Yeah, can you give the number of the stage 2 loans QOQ?
Which number?
Which loans QOQ?
Stage 2.
Stage 2 loans QOQ.
Yeah.
So stage 2 will be 3.5%.
So stage 2 is broadly, you know, between 31 and 90 days, is close to about 1.25% of the total book.
Okay. And what will be your Punjab portfolio currently? And what is your coverage ratio on your Punjab portfolio?
So in Punjab, the on-book portfolio is 336 crores and the impacted branches are only 10, which are around Amritsar.
Okay, and the exposure in these 10 branches would be?
The exposure on these branches is 43 crores. Collection efficiency from the overall state is 91%.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now end the conference over to Ms. Aditi Singh, Chief Strategy Officer from Satin Credit Care Network Limited, for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for taking our time and attending our call and all the questions that you asked. We have tried to answer each and everything. I will still wrap up by saying that we have always been very responsible and very much driven by tech and sources, always prioritize the quality of our portfolio over growth and other factors. So this all has actually helped us sail better or sail pretty decent in this quarter. Still, if you want to discuss anything, you can reach out to us, me and my colleague Shweta Bansal. You have our email IDs also. And the details are there on the website. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Satin Credit Care Network Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.